Of hearing everything that we have about the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us, why don't you take a few moments, confess your sins before the Lord, then we'll go before him for a prayer of supplication. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your providential hand. We thank you for your sovereignty, how you completely rule over all things, all of creation, even us. We're thankful before the foundation of the world, Lord, you have set aside children, those whom you chose to elect before anything, before we had even come into existence, how great and marvelous and wonderful you are. And Father, for those of us who understand all that you have done for us, Father, thank you for your patience with us. Day in and day out, as we continue to stray and go our own way and do what is right in our own eyes, ignoring your word and your commands. Father, we thank you, Lord, specifically this morning, for all the faithful mothers, the women from generation to generation who have been faithful to train up children in the ways of the Lord. Thank you for those who are faithful even today. Father, we continue to pray, Lord, for the children who are here, who are lost, that you would save them by your grace through the proclamation of the gospel. Father, we pray for your kingdom to grow, not only in this church, Lord, but in Euless and Hearst and Bedford and the surrounding cities. Father, we pray for your kingdom to grow in Bhutan, where the majority there do not know you and are fully convinced that they are saved in false religions. Father, as we open up your word right now and we study the Old Testament book of Proverbs, this book on wisdom, Lord, we come before you acknowledging we desperately need wisdom. We need it to faithfully serve you and to glorify you. So, Lord, be gracious to us. Give us wisdom. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you would, remain standing for the reading of God's word. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. If you're using a Pew Bible, you can find that on page 527. 527. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction and wise dealing and righteousness, justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. It's not very often that I can go throughout a week and hear, Pastor, how can I be praying for you? And typically my first response is, please pray that the Lord would be gracious to me and grant me wisdom so that I may better serve and glorify him. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, we find these words, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Now, just as a little side note for you, we all lack wisdom, and we should all be asking God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let us ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him who asks, ask in faith with no doubting. The one who doubts is like a wave in the sea. He is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we can come before the Lord and we can ask the Lord for wisdom. But if we don't have faith, not only is our prayer unstable, but so is our life. That you and I need wisdom, but we must have faith. In this life, there are many voices telling us many different things. You need this. You need that. Everyone needs to read this book. I cannot believe you haven't read this book. Everyone needs to watch this movie. You need to go and watch this. You need to see this TV show. Get this. This will absolutely change your life. Do this workout. Do this diet plan. Get this game. Get this new phone. What about the voice of God? The voice of God says, get wisdom. And thankfully, he gives us wisdom literature in his spoken word. We have God's breathed out wisdom before us. This is why we are studying Proverbs. We find wisdom for this life, for the wise, for the young, for the simple. We are all called to increase in wisdom. Practical wisdom, intellectual wisdom, moral wisdom, and what's known as mysterious wisdom. Do this, don't do that. Say this, don't say that. Marry this person, avoid that person. You know, the more we read this book, the more we see our own foolishness and our personal need for wisdom. In the words of Derek Kinder, wisdom books are the point in the Old Testament when the pilgrim is free to stop and take a long look round, observing and asking questions about all that he sees. It is a book which seldom takes you to church. Like its own figure of wisdom, it calls across to you in the street about everyday matter or points things out at a home. Its function in Scripture is to put godliness into working clothes. You know, Proverbs joined with Job, Ecclesiastes, Psalms, and Song of Solomon make up the wisdom books in the Scripture. And I have to be honest with you, as Blake and I were discussing this past week, at times in this book, as we are walking through, it is extremely difficult to organize, and sometimes it can just be flat out weird when you're teaching it. I've never sat under a pastor who's preached through Proverbs. I've never been in a church where they've studied Proverbs. Proverbs is packaged much differently than the Gospels and the Epistles. The first 9 chapters of Proverbs, that's the introduction. The first 9 chapters. So let's just say over the next 10 plus weeks, you will experience the longest introduction ever. But the great mistake that you and I can make as God's children as we walk through this wisdom book is believing that you and I are incapable of living foolish and simple lives. Believe me, we are. Just because God's grace has rescued us and he has given us the faith to believe does not mean that we are exempt from living a fool's life. Foolish lives ignore the Lord, while simple lives are those who are not disciplined, they're easily misled, they're naive and open-minded to the wisdom of the world. The Proverbs of Solomon. 1 Kings informs us of King Solomon's wisdom. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and breadth of mind, like the sand of the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all other men. Knowledge. This is correct understanding of the world and self. Correct understanding of the world and self. Wisdom. Wisdom is the art of godly living. The art of godly living. The righteous application of true knowledge. So when wisdom is rightly used, the result is a biblical outlook on life as well as a life lived according to his word. It's not one. It's both. It's a biblical outlook on life because there are many people who have a biblical outlook on life, but they don't live a life according to that biblical outlook. Wisdom is not a name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, mystical spirituality, which, by the way, is most of how wisdom is taught today. We also cannot just sit back and pray for wisdom. For Proverbs teaches us wisdom is a pursuit. You and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to seek it with our life. As Christians, we are called to pursue wisdom. We are called to treasure wisdom. We are called to increase it, to get more and more of it. In just the first seven verses, they have laid out for us something that we will go back to over and over again as we walk through these 31 chapters. The fact that you can be wise, you can be young, you could be simple-minded. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter where you are spiritually. You are called to get more of it. How sad it is that men and women in the church, how sad it is that there are many men and women in the church who are of age, and it is extremely hard to find individuals who are wise. It's difficult to find a life that has been lived long, very wisely. How many men and women are in the church at an old age who are continuing to grow in biblical wisdom? Continuing. Bible in hand and a mind set on pleasing the Lord. On one hand, with our good theology, we know that the Lord will sanctify us. But on the other hand, the Lord has spoken and given us commands to obey for our good. And when we fail to obey his commands, there are consequences, even consequences in the here and the now. Very few men and women who are in their 70s, 80s, and 90s are remaining faithful to the Lord. Very few are looking to Christ. Very few are pursuing wisdom because very few are reading and studying the Word of God. No matter our age, we all become content and comfortable at times. But living a wise life encompasses the whole of life. It's the overall pattern. The reason that few model wisdom in their 70s, 80s, and 90s is that their pattern of life was lacking the discipline of time, energy, and affections over a long period of time. The time dedicated to know God, the energy to serve God, and Jesus Christ being their greatest affection, their greatest treasure, was often absent. Their priorities, their greatest affections, how they spent their time, the use of their money, and God's given gifts to them were primarily spent on the things of this world, the things that do not last and the things that do not satisfy. They might have been good things, but they were not what is best. Living primarily for self, a fading kingdom that will not last, that is a waste of a life. Living for what we cannot take with us, that's just plain foolishness. So I address the elderly in this room, and I encourage you to finish well. What has happened is done. You're in the here and the now. Glorify the Lord. Continue to seek the Lord. Seek wisdom and glorify him with the days that you have left. For those who are young in this room, and there are many, I can say it's simple. Read your Bible and study it. You may be thinking, well, that seems really too simple. Yeah, it's a very simple thing that very little Christians do today. Very few get alone with the Lord every day and read and study and pray. Very few. Your patterns that you have now are of great importance, and there are consequences to a life lived hearing God's word and not doing it. James says, if you fail to do it, you deceive yourself. We must know wisdom, and we must do wisdom. If we are not living for the glory of God, if we are not enjoying him, as long as the Lord gives us time, it's not too late to live a wise life. If your current season of life, maybe right now, is calmness, maybe it's chaos. If you're weak, hurt, depressed, or strong, perhaps happy and motivated, Proverbs is for us all. To the children, the students, and the teens, you need wisdom. To those in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, you need wisdom. To those in your 50s, 60s, and 70s, 80s, and 90s, you need wisdom. I hope you're getting the picture. No one's exempt. We all need wisdom. And our only hope for wisdom is found in Jesus Christ. That is your only hope for wisdom. All wisdom is found in him. Therefore, he is to be our highest pursuit and our greatest treasure. Just put yesterday aside for a moment. What was your highest pursuit and your greatest treasure yesterday? Like, embracing Christ in this life is necessary if we are to please him. Embracing Christ in this life is necessary if we are to enjoy him. So that we don't walk through Proverbs and completely mess this up, there are some foundational truths that will help us as we walk through this book. These truths that I'm about to cover, we're going to cover them over and over again as we walk through Proverbs. So I'm going to read them slowly. Truth number one. Proverbs is wisdom. It's not law. Proverbs is wisdom. It's not law. It's a collection of wise sayings from a number of authors, primarily collected by King Solomon. Proverbs guides us into wisdom. Proverbs is wisdom. It's not law. What is a proverb? To be like. They are simple moral statements that highlight and teach fundamental realities about life. It's true observations, short, pithy sayings. Some of these sayings are found elsewhere outside of Scripture because they were gathered by Solomon under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but Proverbs is breathed out by God. The main author of Proverbs is Solomon. There are other authors whom Blake and I will mention as we walk through this book, but Proverbs is wisdom, it is not law. Therefore, in this book, we find principles to live by. We do not find promises. The context and genre of a book, they're highly important. For example, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Star Wars. Once upon a time, in a faraway land, there was a tiny kingdom, peaceful, prosperous, and rich in romance and tradition. Cinderella. A flying DeLorean. Back to the Future. A flying blue police box. Doctor Who. Fiction, nonfiction, genre, and context, they are all important. A letter to a church. A letter to an individual, a husband writing to his wife. Context, genre matters. Proverbs is wisdom, it is not law. I know I'm saying this a whole lot, but we've got to understand this. This book is about life. It's a matter of life and death. It's not fantasy. I don't stand before you discussing wisdom because it's kind of important. Wisdom is life because Jesus Christ is life. Let's look at an example of what I mean by Proverbs is wisdom and not law. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is a principle. This is not a promise. This is misused and butchered so many times. I have trained my child in the way that they should go. When they grow up, they will not depart. This does not mean that if you train your children to know God's word through the word of God, that that child will be saved. It's principle, it's not promise. Just because children are trained does not mean that they will be saved. Jesus trained many and the masses fell away. Of the 12, one was a traitor. The parable of the sower reveals that many will accept the gospel with joy, but over time prove to be lost due to their love for this world. God redeems. Amen. And if we are redeemed, we are to teach truth. But the work of salvation, that's a work of God alone. One is saved simply. One is not saved simply because truth is taught. God is sovereign, and as his children, we have his commands, so we teach. Let me give you an example. A wise farmer knows that God is sovereign. But he also knows that he must plant a harvest if he's going to reap a harvest. That's what a wise farmer does. A wise student, those of you who are studying, a wise student knows that God is sovereign. You know what that also means? A wise student will also study. A wise parent knows that God is sovereign over their children, but they still train them in the ways of God and earnestly beg the Lord to save them. On the greatest day of our life, we still fail in all things. You realize that, right? It's like the parent who walks in for counseling and the parent says, man, we did all this with our first child. We trained them up. We taught them all these different things. Living for the Lord. Second child, I don't know where we went wrong, but he's not following the Lord. I heard a wise preacher once say, that's the point when you need to look at the family and you need to call them to repentance. As if you did anything right with your first child and you did everything wrong with your second child, as if your child was dependent upon you for salvation, you need to repent. Wisdom is found in the Lord. On the greatest day of our life, we fail in all things. If we've been saved by God's grace, we understand this because you and I are not the hero. Christ is a hero. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2 is another example. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. This is wisdom, this is not law. Just because you keep the commandments of God does not automatically mean you will live a long life. These verses are general wisdom. It's not law. It's like saying, just because you eat well, that does not mean that you will live a long life. Healthy people die every day. Healthy people die every day. And we'll talk more about this as we walk through. If you want a perfect example of this, look at Jesus. Proverbs 14, verse 26. In the fear of Yahweh, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. This is true, but it doesn't mean that hard times will not come to God's people. What about Job? This is why we have Job. He was a righteous man. His children did not have a refuge. They all died. What about Jesus Christ? He lived a sinless life, and he was killed at a young age. Proverbs is wisdom, it's not law. In this book, we find poetry, short sayings, and numerical sayings. Short sayings, these are comparisons. Wisdom and foolishness, righteousness, wickedness, numerical sayings. Sayings that promote the perception of order in the world as we live during our experiences and complexities. Proverbs is wisdom, not law. Truth two, the overall purpose of this book as God's children is to get wisdom. The overall purpose of this book is to get wisdom. There are two roads, there are two ways, there are two journeys, and that result in two different final destinations. You have Lady Wisdom and you have Dame Folly. Wisdom, the art of godly living, the righteous application of true knowledge, the skill or ability to live in a way that pleases God. Skillful living that has lasting value. Dame Folly or Lady Wisdom, one of those two is our pursuit at any given time. There is no neutrality in our living before the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we need wisdom to glorify him in all things. The purpose of this book is for you and I to get wisdom. Truth three, know the difference between an indicative and an imperative. Know the difference between an indicative and imperative. It's highly important that we know the difference. An indicative tells us what something is. An imperative, that's a command. It tells us what to do. Proverbs 28:1 is an example. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. We don't have a command in that verse. That verse doesn't command us to do anything. As God's children, we need to know what are commands and what are not commands. Because false churches, false teachers, they stream everything from these things. What's an indicative? What's an imperative? Knowing the difference is highly important. Truth 4, you are not and never will be the wise son of Proverbs. You are not and never will be the wise son of Proverbs. Jesus Christ is the wise son of Proverbs. And you guessed it, you and I are the fools. Jesus Christ is a wise son of Proverbs. If we read and study this book and walk away with, if I do this, this will happen to me. And it will be wonderful. We will miss Proverbs completely. There is sermon after sermon, book after book, where individuals, this is what they do. If I do this, God will grant this. No, you're missing it all. The wise son of Proverbs is Jesus Christ, and we as his children, we are to get and have the mind of Christ and live. Without the application of Christ's mind, we will not glorify him. In the reading of this book, we will use the New Testament to interpret what we find here in the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Proverbs was pointing to Christ. And a fearful thing is, and for all of us, especially as Christians, churches, businesses, and non-Christians, they can apply principles from this book and you can be extremely successful. You can actually believe that you are glorifying the Lord while you are not glorifying him. Some people believe they have salvation when they don't. But understand this, when you read and you study Proverbs, Christian principles do not equal salvation. This is why in the training of your children, you teach them the word of God. But just because you train your children doesn't mean they're going to be saved. Just because you and I have Christian principles doesn't mean we're born again. Christian principles do not equal salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ alone equals salvation. Look at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David. So just in hearing that, you see the life lived by Solomon. You understand the life of David. Solomon, extremely wise, foolish towards the end of his life. David was known after a man after God's own heart. And this is one thing that I really stuck out to me over the last few weeks and studying this, is the fact that you can have all the wisdom, but you must also have a heart for God. Both are needed. David was a man after God's own heart, but he also committed adultery and had somebody killed, but he repented and continued to fall after the Lord. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. There are two paths, the wise path and the foolish path. The wise path is grounded in the fear of Yahweh. The foolish path, it is grounded in despising wisdom and instruction. They hate wisdom and they ignore wisdom. They fail to see the big picture because their life is truly all about them. We must not be tricked. There is knowledge and understanding that is foolish. That which does not lead to righteousness is foolish. The purpose of verses 1 through 7 is to instruct the young and the simple to embrace wisdom so they live a long life of living on the wise path. Wisdom in the details of life, the relationships of life, the conversations of life, the everyday situations of life. Wisdom from God is needed to live in his world for his glory. So Proverb 1:1, that's the introduction. Proverb 1:2 through 6, this is where we find the purpose. Proverbs 1:7, that is the theme of the entire book. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of Yahweh, that's the beginning of knowledge. Fear. fear, a reverence and awe of Yahweh that results in living according to his word. This also includes a healthy fear of God's displeasure as well as his discipline. So in this context, the fear of Yahweh is the first and controlling principle of knowledge. I'll say that again. It's the first and controlling principle of knowledge. Joel Beek had a great word for this. He said, the heart awareness of the true God that affects attitude and actions. To fear God is to know him and his holiness by his word, resulting in humility, a soft and teachable spirit, turning from sin, rejecting the way of sinners, walking in sincere obedience and confident hope. So Yahweh is God's covenant name. This is a covenant relationship with God. This is not a general understanding that there is a God, because without salvation, there is no wise life. Without salvation, there is no wise life. You can be educated and not fear the Lord. They're called educated fools. You can have all the degrees and not glorify the Lord. Seminaries and churches are full of people who say they love the Lord, but in reality, they have no fear of God. To live in the fear of God is to live in the reality of Yahweh and who he is according to his holy word. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no wisdom. He is not a source. He is the only source. Pastors have forgotten this. Churches have forgotten this. Members have forgotten this. We look for so many different things in this world outside of Christ, and we try to label it as wisdom, and I'm living for the Lord, and we're not, because we haven't looked into what the Lord has given us. It is wisdom. Outside of Christ, there is no wisdom. Without Christ, there is no godly living, no righteous application of the truth. A wise life is governed by the fear of the Lord, and the aim is to please the Lord. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Let's look at Colossians 2, beginning in verse 1. Colossians is all about how Christ, Jesus Christ, is supreme. Colossians 2, verse 1, we find, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those, Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So in Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Christ is everything. He is the source for wisdom. You see, without repentance and belief in Christ, there is no justification and no righteous living. You see, we were all born sinners separated from a holy God. We are all born in need of salvation. The good news is God sent forth his son, born of a virgin, came from heaven to earth, lived a perfect and sinless life. He proved he was God. He taught that he was God. Jesus is remembered as saying, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. I'm come, and I've come here to do my Father's will. Even at Calvary, Jesus laid down his life in obedience to the Father's will. He was crucified. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, gave the great commission, ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus has all power, all authority, and Jesus is coming again. Unless we have Christ, unless we have repented of our sins, put our faith, hope, and trust in Christ and Christ alone for our salvation, you are not wise. You're a fool. righteous living. This is doing the right thing. It's doing the right thing the right way, and it's doing the right thing the right way for the right reason. The reason why we have so many individuals grow up thinking that they're saved, and they said a prayer, and they've been following the Lord, and their parents think that they are good because I taught them the Word of God, is because, yeah, a lot of people do the right thing, and they do a lot of the right things the right way. The problem is they don't do it for the glory of God, so it's the wrong reason. If we are not doing what God has said in His Word, and if we're not doing it in love, and we're not doing it for His glory, we are not living a righteous life. When we fail to see Jesus Christ as the wise son of Proverbs, we will easily fall into the trap of moralism or legalism. The two great enemies of the gospel. Moralism, just be a moral person. It's not about a payment for sin. It's not about a holy God. One does the right thing, but not knowing the reason. It's a good person who doesn't wrestle with sin. They ask a question, what would Jesus do? They never get to the point of saying, what did Jesus do? Then you have legalism. This is when our righteousness is determined by what one does and does not do. Many people in the church, they're legalists. I go to church, therefore I'm saved. I serve, therefore I'm saved. I do this, that person doesn't do that, therefore I'm good, shame on them. I am right with God because I keep the law. No, you're not the wise son of Proverbs. Jesus Christ is. You and I are the fools. These first nine chapters of Proverbs are highly important. If we miss a week throughout, please go back and listen at some point. Chapters 1 through 9, the introduction, it's the main theology of Proverbs. Chapters 10 through 31, it's the application of the foundation, the practical theology. We're going to look at what it is to be a sluggard, what it is to have humility, to have wealth, to glorify God with our wealth, or to squander our wealth, what it is to actually be a friend. What about different relationships that we encounter? Young individuals who date. Who should I date? Who should I not date? Who you should marry? Who you should not marry? What about the tongue? Taming of the tongue. And then life. Life lived for the glory of God. And then death. Dying for the glory of God. Proverbs, it is wisdom to walk in the light. And the beginning of wisdom is Jesus Christ. All right, Proverbs 1, verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction. To know. To understand words of insight. To receive instruction in wise dealing and righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple. Knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. And the one who understands, obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Let's look closely at the words. To know wisdom. This is way more than reading. To know wisdom. To know is to take with you. It's to apply. It's not just to read something. If we want to talk about reading, you and I are professionals at that. We can read all the time. We can listen to sermons all the time. We can be bookworms cover to cover. To know wisdom, it's more than just reading. To know is to take it with you, to understand insight. It's to become aware of what God has said. To become aware. Then it goes on to say, to receive instruction. To receive something, you must first understand something. Back in my heathen days, I used to watch a TV show, Friends. and they would start talking, and you had one person on the show that would just listen to everything that was being said. They would talk, and then Joey would just sit there and be like, yeah, okay, he wasn't receiving things because he wasn't understanding what was being said. He just nodded his head what was going on. To know something and to receive something, you must first understand something. To receive instruction can also be read to receive discipline, meaning if you and I don't sit under the discipline of what God has taught us, we're not receiving it. You practice, you practice, you practice. As a father, I used to teach my children how to ride their bicycles. You take off the training wheels and you just go over it over and over and over and over again. You practice, you practice, you practice, you practice. This is what we're talking about. Many people have read Proverbs. Many people have taught Proverbs. Many people have looked at Proverbs and applied great principles to Proverbs, but they haven't actually become wise. To receive instruction, it's wise behavior, wise righteousness, wise justice, and wise equity. So to know wisdom, to understand insight, to receive instruction, to give prudence. This is the ability to use reason in a godly way. Knowledge and discretion, how to act in any particular situation, how to respond in a particular situation. It's to give prudence. And then he closes with saying, to understand a proverb. That is to see. To see. It's to understand a proverb. It's what you have taken, what you are seeking to apply to your life. You are actually understanding what this has said. It's to see and to see it clearly. The learning of wisdom. This is the mental discipline of learning and living for the glory of God. It's the learning of it as well as the doing. And let me be straightforward with you and with myself. We all need wisdom because you and I all need growth. We need growth in wise behavior. We need growth in wise counsel, wise instruction, wise choices, and wise standards. We need a great reverence for the Lord. We need to get wisdom and we need to increase in wisdom. Salvation is a gift. The growing of wisdom, that is a work that we can now do by God's grace because we have the Spirit of God and by His grace we have the Word of God. The wise need more wisdom. The young, they need wisdom. The simple, they need to get wisdom. Proverbs 1:7, that's a theme. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Christ is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. Here's a key that you want on your key ring as we walk through this. Even though Christ is the beginning of knowledge, we never leave Christ. You never leave Him. Christ is the beginning of knowledge, but we never leave Him. As if we can get godly wisdom outside of Christ, you will never find godly wisdom outside of Christ. So many don't have this key. Jesus Christ is the beginning, Jesus Christ is the middle, and Jesus Christ is the end. He is our constant for wisdom. In Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians 2. Christ is the starting point and remains our constant in the pursuit of more. 1 Corinthians 1:28 through 31, God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. We all need wisdom. The question is, for that starting point, do you have Christ? Are you confident of your salvation? If you were to die today and to stand before the gate and they were to ask, why in the world should I let you in? They would only let you in if you've been born again by God's grace, that you have trusted in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. Have you been born again? If you have not repented of your sins and you have not trusted in Christ alone for your salvation, you have not been born again and you will not get in. You are in great need. And if I can be honest, you're in a scary place to be before a holy God. To have no payment for your sin, to have God's wrath remaining upon you, come to Christ. All other ways, they are foolishness. Christ cleanses you of your sins. He brings healing to your flesh, Proverbs says. Refreshment to your bones. Jesus Christ, he satisfies. Come to Christ. And for those of us who are Christians, we need to hear that too, because yesterday we were foolish in many ways. We need to come to Christ and we need to be satisfied because nothing else will satisfy. The answer to foolishness is Christ. If you are confident of your salvation, if you know that you have been born again, there are areas in which you are living presently, in which you are not living a wise life. You know it, and so does everybody else. There are areas in our life where we need to have conformity into the image of Christ. So let's seek Lady Wisdom together as a church over the months ahead. Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for allowing us to gather together to even have your word in our language. Father, to hear the simple and amazing statement, the fear of you is a beginning of knowledge. Father, we need a greater reverence for you. We need to think very little about ourselves, because so often our life is filled of us thinking about us. We need to think about you, your holiness, your righteousness, your goodness, your steadfastness, your patience, your mercy, your promises. Father, we need you. There's never a moment in this life that we don't need you. We need Christ, our Savior, and we need wisdom more and more. You have called us to search for it, to seek it like treasure, to come after you with all that we are, to be satisfied with you and to rest in you, but to continue to seek more and more of you, not for us, not for our sake, not for our kingdom, but for your name and for your glory, so that your kingdom would come here on this earth. Father, that your will be done in our life as it is in heaven. Father, we need wisdom. And the fear of you, that's the beginning. And so, Lord, by your Spirit, Father, we ask that you would convict those who have not been born again. Convict them of their sin. Draw them to yourself. Give them eyes to see, ears to hear. Father, without Christ, they are foolish and they are in desperate need of salvation. And Father, even as your children, Lord, we can live so many days. Lord, may not be years of wasting our life. Father, we need wisdom in every matter, with our tongue, with our relationships, with our spouse, in evangelism, in the making of disciples, in the training of our children, living as a parent. Father, we need wisdom. It begins with fearing you. Father, thank you for this time together. Father, thank you for Christ. how his blood covers all of our sin. It's in his wonderful name we pray. Amen. I would ask that you use this time of silence and reflection to think upon the Lord. Prepare your hearts for one last song. And definitely get right with the Lord in the taking of the Lord's table. We are commanded not to take of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. So confess your sins before the Lord. And let's proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And by God's grace, as we seek him in his word, may he allow us to live wise lives for his glory. Use this time to reflect.